Hello and welcome to Evolve Pipedrive Podcast. We talk all things Pipedrive, sales, apps and Pipedrive Marketplace. My name is Bruce Bignall. I'm the sales director here at Evolve. Evolve helps small and scaling businesses get the most out of Pipedrive through implementation, consultancy and training. And today I have the great pleasure to be joined by Emilia Yanis, the head of partnerships at Oneflow. Now, Oneflow is a platform that automates the entire contract process from start to finish, all in one place. I'm super excited to be joined with Emilia today for a couple of reasons. One, because Emilia's journey with Oneflow is a great example of a career path for an SDR, from an independent contributor to a head of sales to head of partnerships at Oneflow. And two, because Emilia's part of Oneflow's continued success. So Oneflow raised $37 million in the Swedish Stock Exchange back in April, which actually the first day that I met Emilia, you were dressed in this wonderful pink and you were so buzzing with energy. I think you just rung the bell as well, which is amazing.
That's right. Yeah. So
you're part of that team that's really kind of striving with Axel and the rest of the guys there. You're doing amazing work. Plus, Oneflow is now on the Pipedrive Marketplace, ready for you to try out, and we'll have links in the description below. So, Emilia, welcome. Please can you introduce yourself and Oneflow to our audience?
Yeah, of course. Thank you, Bruce, and thanks for having me. I'm super excited to have this discussion with you. Head of Partnerships, I've been with Oneflow for 7 years, almost exactly 7 years now since I joined. Oneflow back then was a 5-people company. We had, a handful of customers, and I joined as an SDR. I had just dropped out of uni, so my background is I'm an opera singer and a speech and language pathologist, so I did a complete, 360 career shift. My intention was not to stay for 7 years, I think, when I joined. But it turned out to be a really, really good decision. And I'm super happy to have been on this journey with the company. What we do is we try to completely change the way that people do business and agree on things. Contracts are the backbone of any business. Try finding, the exciting thing about Oneflow and working with Oneflow is that the world is literally your oyster. Try finding me a company in the world that doesn't work with contracts, or try finding me a department within a company that does not work with contracts or documents that needs a signature. So that it's that's quite an exciting challenge to have in front of you. So that's sort of our mission. Try and bring some magic into the agreement world.
I love it. I think we'll touch on this in a moment, I think, about if the world's your oyster, what does that mean for partnerships, right? So that's a very exciting role there. But just on the Oneflow piece, obviously raising the money back in April of 2022, we are recording this at the beginning of Q4 of 2022. What has that meant for the team? I mean, what is the makeup of the team now? Is that all going on dev? Is that going on expanding your team, the sales team, marketing? What does that mean for the business?
Yes, I think it's three major themes within what we can do now, sort of that we couldn't do before. So one is development, of course, because we of course want the best product, and we need more developers and more product people to make that happen. The other one is marketing. So we're scaling up our marketing team massively. And the third one is globalization. So we have since we rung the bell at Nasdaq, we have opened up offices in London, in Amsterdam, and in Paris as well. So we have now commercial teams, so salespeople and marketing resources in all those three markets, apart from the Nordics, which we have been, that's been our home market for the past 10 years.
That's been your hub, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's really kind of looking at the UK and Europe as an opportunity here for you guys to expand your reach there.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
But in terms of markets covered and in the industries, what's the kind of success mix there? What does that look like for the business so far? And where do you think there are some opportunities for you to kind of break into?
Yeah, so I think, even though we have only been active in the Nordic market and done sort of marketing and sales activities, outbound activities in those countries up until, 6 months ago, we've had some a substantial, I would say, organic growth. So our customers sending contracts to companies and people around the world, really liking the experience and signing up. So we have customers, paying customers in over 50 countries, I think. We have now made a decision when we go into new markets that we will focus on the mid-market segment. So basically companies up to 1,000 employees. And industries where we've had sort of fast success, since, you know, contracts is something that should be on everybody's mind, or it has to be on everybody's mind. We could basically sell to any industry. But where we've had fast success is very contract intense industries. So that could be, you know, consultancy, staffing and recruitment, or anything where there's a high volume of contracts. Really, you know, high volume sales is a perfect customer for us. Rather than, you know, the very traditional industry where it's two contracts a year to a ridiculous value, where, you know, it might not make sense to make an investment like this.
You make no commission on the value of the sales that the paper's written on, or the so-called.
No. So there has to be some sort of need there to remove some friction and save some time. On a very sort of admin heavy process.
Yeah. And things like, you know, you're seeing data now where certainly in the kind of, it's kind of leaking down from the enterprise to, I guess, mid-market and some scale-ups, but more people having to sign off on things, right? Or having to have visibility on the sign-off. Mm-hmm. So having the ability to share, so you've got a signer and then having to be able to share that around a team for kind of verbal sign-off or e-sign-off before its financial director gets their eyes on it. It just kind of, beforehand, it was such a slow process of, you know, either copying and pasting your fake signature into a Word document or whatever, whatever it was, to now actually have been able to manage that in one place. It's pretty powerful.
Yeah, and I think in a lot of ways it still is a very sort of old school space. We're trying to change it, but for a really, really, I mean, electronic signatures has been on the market for the past, what, 25 years? So it's not like we're the first ones to do that, but it's all been, you know, trying to make a very manual, you know, paper, ink on paper, or like a handshake process into something that is, you know, a bit more digital. So we're calling it digital signatures, but it's, you know, looking at the more traditional companies, I would more, you know, be a bit cocky and say it's more of a computerized process. So the paper has gone from being a physical paper to a PDF, but, you know, it works in the same way. Everything is locked within the PDF. You can't do any changes.
You can't change anything on the PDF.
Exactly. It's the data, the business critical data that is your contract is locked within this PDF that you can't do anything with. Your business doesn't get any value from that file on its own. I mean, our mission is to try and, of course, fight friction and remove sort of that admin heavy tasks. Provide some clarity throughout the processes, like you were saying, with sign-offs and getting the right people involved and making sure that negotiations are running smoothly, but also, you know, unleashing data. So stepping away from those traditional PDFs that doesn't really give any value to business and give them a better option, which we now have. We do everything else in a browser, so why not contracts?
Yeah. And what would you say, just kind of on the partnership in the world's your oyster piece that you mentioned earlier, what would you say you've taken from your knowledge and understanding from as a not an opera singer, but as an independent individual contributor as a salesperson, to then being a manager to now being a you know, head of partnerships at this fast growing business? What do you see as the biggest opportunities for you as a business? Obviously expanding is one thing into different markets. What are the opportunities that you're looking to and partnerships that you're thinking that could be ideal for you guys?
Yeah, so I mean, I have been talking now a bit about contracts being sort of the backbone of any business, but we will never be a CRM or an ERP. Mm-hmm. We will never be sort of the where you do everything related to your work, but we have to be able to talk to a lot of other systems, send data receive data, you know, to try and create some automation for our users. So technical partnerships, integration partnerships, that's our most strategic important partner type, and that's what we look for globally. So up until this point, it's been very pre-sign focused. So a system where you want to create a contract, so a CRM, HRM, or ATS, or anything where you want to create a document. But I think, you know, the future is going to be way more what happens after we've signed this document, because, you know, we have all of this data, we want to be able to automate the full process. And I think, you know, that was the vision that our founder and CEO Anders had when he founded this company. Imagine a world where, you know, you have your deal within your CRM, you create a proposal, you negotiate it, all systems are always up to date, you sign it, and then, you know, the contract has all of the data needed for an invoice. So we can take that data and send it to whatever system to create an invoice, and maybe also, you know, to the bookkeeping system, send all of that data. Like, there's so many steps within a business that we can automate, where sort of the contract is at the center of all of those processes.
Certainly at the sharp edge of it, right? So so would that be right? So in terms of roadmap for you guys, it's making sure that obviously integrations are as strong as they can be, either natively or no code, and obviously APIs and things like this. Is that because obviously you've got a native integration with Pipedrive now, right? So what does that look like? You know, how do you integrate with Pipedrive?
Yeah, so we have our own internal integrations team that build and maintain and develop our integrations. So Pipedrive is a native plug and play integration. So you can find us on Pipedrive's marketplace, and you can try it out for yourself. So it's very easily configurable with your own Pipedrive environment. And that's your, I mean, we, there's of course a lot of ways to do integrations. You could either, you know, go the Chrome extension way, or less high in quality, let's say, where maybe you can get an integration out to the market faster, but you don't really create that much value for the user, because there's so much just, you know, friction and frustration when things doesn't work or lag or whatever. So we try to build really high quality integrations across all our partners.
Yeah, I think that comes across. Obviously, we spoke about Pipedrive, you spoke about some other kind of very large CRMs, and some quite exciting things that you've done with them in terms of two-way sync and things like that. So yeah, it's every from what I've seen so far, it is there's certainly not a second tier app what you're trying to build. You really are trying to be best in class. So yeah, I mean, that's really cool. So from my side, obviously this is the first time we've had a real long conversation with you now, Amelia, but first time we met, I got married, now you've just got married, so hopefully next time we speak we're still both married. But from my side, your journey so far to get to where you are, right? So obviously that first step to going into an SDR role, have you had the same manager throughout that's kind of trusted you? What's been that kind of journey to get to the head of partnerships, and was it always written for you to go into partnerships? How did that kind of grow for you from an SDR to head of sales? To partnership.
Yeah. So no, I started as an SDR with Oneflow back in October 2015. Yeah, that's right. I had some experience. I had worked for like a teleco business box for 4 months prior to that. So I did know the rough process around working with outbound activities. So I got a chance to, or I met with Anders, our founder and CEO. He bought me a smoothie. I think he had just been to the gym. He bought me a smoothie and invited me up to the office, and we just had a chat for like an hour and a half. To this day, I don't think he's ever seen my resume, but we had some joint acquaintances. And he needed someone to book more sales meetings for him, so he decided to give me a chance.
At that stage, was he was a closer. He was closing.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I basically book meetings for him.
Yeah.
And he nagged me for like 6 months to try sales. And by that time, you know, coming from my background, which has not been very business focused, in my mind, a sales rep was a white dude, 35 years old, navy blue suit,
Yeah.
briefcase, Rolex watch, blonde back slick. That was a salesperson for me. So I think I needed those 6 months to sort of get used to the idea of having this title. And for a really long time, I hated the title because it didn't really
Was it the
felt like it
word
fit with
sale,
me.
do you
Yeah.
think?
Yeah.
Yeah,
So
it
account
sounded like.
exec sales rep. Yeah. It just didn't feel like it was a good fit for me. And I had like clients calling me, "No, but you're like more of a digitalization consultant." I was like, "Yeah, sure, maybe. Yeah, that's what I do. I yeah. I
You
came
tell
to
your
love
manager, I want to
the
be a digital transformation consultant. They're like, be
yeah.
quiet, just send me more meetings or close more deals.
Exactly. No, but so after 6 months, I decided to give it a go. More, I think, to sort of show him that I wouldn't be good at it. And I wasn't, I have to admit. I was shit for the
Yeah.
first 6 months. I was really, really bad. You know, also being in the startup, we were very few people, and he was super busy trying to, you know, grow this company. So I basically had very little to none training. So I had to just learn on the job. It was like, you know what it is that we're selling, go meet clients and close
Yeah.
them. It's like, yeah, how do you do it? But yeah, I gave it a proper shot, and I worked as a sales rep for a few years. We grew to be, you know, about five in the sales team. Our head of sales left, so I decided to just, or we decided to let me just take over for the time being, because it was not necessarily a role that I was interested in having. It was more from an admin perspective. Someone has to just be responsible for the pipe and making sure that, you know, deals and leads are followed up on, etc. So, but that, just for the time being, until we find someone else, turned into a year and a half.
But you
And
must
I
have put your hand up. You must have put your hand up there, though. In those internal meetings, you're like, well, I'll give this a go.
Yeah, sure. But I mean, we were still a very small company. We were like maybe 20 in total and five in the sales team. And I had been there the longest and was the most senior rep in the team. So I think it was quite natural. And I mean, me and Andres has always had a really, really good relationship. And I think that he's always trusted me. I can't remember. Maybe I put my hand up or maybe I didn't. But however, I got this opportunity. It turned into a year and a half long project rather than just until we found, or I mean, it was just until we found a new person to take over. But I also grew the sales team then from five people to, I think it was 17
Amazing.
in three countries when I handed over to Axel, who's our CSO at the moment. And then it was more, you know, what do I want to do now for myself, and how can I help this company grow as much as possible? So going back to being a sales rep felt, well, maybe a bit limiting, because you know there's only so many customers you can meet, you know, time, or the day only has 24 hours, so there's only so much you can contribute to as an individual sales rep. So I more looked at the business and started thinking about where can I contribute to the fastest growth. And the partner team had, or you know, had an opening, or we hadn't really worked that focused with partners up until that point. So that was August 2020 that I took over as head of partnerships. It was only me at the time. So I was head of me. And now we're four
So
people.
someone's got to look after you. So
Yeah,
it's a,
exactly.
but it, I there's been a real obviously trend to the partnerships in the B2B SaaS, right? And certainly if you're building a product that you're not trying to be a piece of bloatware, that you're going to be a CRM, you're going to be a this, you're going to be everything in one. If you're just going to be a best in class at what you do, you have to connect to other applications in your space, right? So the partnerships, whether it's at a technical level, whether it's at a consulting level or a partner implementation level or whatever it might be, it's more important than ever, right? And I can see that, I guess, your role, I'm sure you've got more than just yourself now, right? The partnership scene are growing across the land. So, how do you see your role maybe evolving into the new year? What do you see happening there?
Yeah, so I mean, we of course are expanding into new markets, which creates a lot of new, really exciting partnership potential for us, both on the technical side. So, smaller local players that has a really, really good foothold of their market, but, are at the stage where we were 4 years ago. They haven't really made that. Even though it's a SaaS product, you're not actively selling to other markets, but your home market. So those, I think, are super interesting for us. Finding those and creating really good relationships to bring value to those local markets. And also, I think we've now landed in a really good sort of partner strategy for companies like yourselves. Because what we realized, I think, you're hitting the head on the nail when it comes to, the need for the integration for our type of company to even bring value to the end user. But since the big players like Pipedrive have grown this ecosystem of partners around them, we also have to create relationships and good partnerships with them. So it's not just having a great relationship with Pipedrive. There's only so much they can do, but identifying and creating a really good and strong ecosystem with all of the other consultancies and agencies in and around that ecosystem is going to be key.
Yeah, and obviously shout out to Abby at Pipedrive, who's leading the ecosystem charge there.
Yeah.
We'll be sure to give them the props afterwards as well. As we look to close, that this be some quick fire questions, but they can obviously be long form answers. What's your favorite use case of OneFlow that you've seen so far, or someone use it out of the ordinary, the favorite use case that you've seen?
I sold to a really, really big global consultancy agency that were looking to be more efficient and have a better candidate experience in their HR department. So this is not at all related to sales, but contracts can work for any team. So they decided to integrate OneFlow with they had like an HR bot to create a really, really cool candidate experience. So I think that's one of my coolest use cases, but I don't, to be our own drum, maybe my favorite use case is a medium-sized business that really utilizes OneFlow. So where they're not only using us for one or two teams, but they're really leveraging the full power of the platform. Because, imagine being a small, mid-sized business and maybe you're looking to sell your company. You need all of your contracts, right? You need your HR contracts, your sales contracts, your internal document. You need it all. And that's the value that OneFlow can bring. OneFlow can be your one source of truth when it comes to your business critical information in your contracts. So I think that is my favorite use case, when a customer really utilizes the power of the platform rather than just helping out a single team.
Yeah, and I think it's that even goes into how OneFlow is set up, right? In terms of is it workspaces? So in terms of workspaces, so you might have the sales environment, the operations environment, HR environment, whatever it might be. So that even goes into the kind of the architecture of how you're building the platform. So that's cool.
Yeah, and it says a lot about like who we are as a company as well, because I would say that we talked about the quality of our integrations before, but I also want to just shout out to our own dev team, because the product or the quality of our product is really, really high. So just how it's structured and the capabilities with workspaces, permissions, groups, rights, roles, really allows for our users to do that.
Always shout out to the devs. We need to give them some props.
Yeah.
and some top tips for people getting started. So if you've never used an, if someone's never used an e-signature platform before, what would be some top tips to get started? And then what would be some, if you, people really want to excel, and it might be just another department using it, right? So, but so for those getting started using the platform, and for those that want to kind of excel their usage, what do you recommend there?
Yes, I think, you know, I've talked a lot about now killing the PDF, and that's a mantra that we sort of speak a lot about internally within OneFlow. That's what we're trying to do. We're on a mission to kill the PDFs. However, you know, it's a great way to get going really, really fast. So if you have a look at the demo, you will be able to see that you can use the existing contract templates that you do have and just transfer them from Pipedrive directly into OneFlow to just experience digital signatures for the first time. So, you know, just with how easy it is to get the app installed and configure it into your Pipedrive account, I would say, you know, go give it a try. But don't stop there, because that's not really where the power lies. We also want to unleash the data, business critical data within those contracts, right? So try building just one template. There's tons of trial templates within OneFlow that you can just copy paste to give it a go, to really start doing those real-time negotiations using the power of the activity log and the audit trail, and there to sort of step out of your PDF comfort zone.
Yeah, and I think that the other piece there is what you mentioned earlier about the computerizing the whole process, right? So it's not a piece of paper that gets sent and has to be ripped up to start again. If your client has a query, they can chat on it and you can make that change in real time. So there are little kind of iterations that you start with a signature and then you can actually have real life negotiations on the fly. So
exactly.
That's pretty cool.
That actually makes me think of, sorry, Marco, now you have to cut here, but the question of my favorite use case that, now it got me thinking, my favorite story, like OneFlow related story out of or throughout these 7 years, is when my colleague Andreas, he's the country manager in Norway, when he started, he has two young kids, and he was, you know, negotiating a deal, and he got a notification from the client saying, we're in a board meeting right now, ready to make a decision. However, you know, this and this needs to be updated before we can sign. And he knew that they were also looking at other vendors. He was at home. He was trying to get his kids ready to go to daycare. He got, you know, the notification on his phone. And had he worked with any of our competitors, more or less, any PDF-based vendor, the answer would have been, you know, I'm in the office in 40 minutes, I'll fix it. Mm. Board meeting would have been over, the deal might have gone lost. Now he could, you know, in his hallway with kids running around his legs, on his phone, do the changes that was necessary, and he got like a sign 1 minute later. So I think for anyone working within sales, they can relate to that story and the power of using the sort of momentum within a sales process. And for that to be possible, you have to have a tool like OneFlow.
Yeah, no, that's great. I love those kind of real world examples of just how it brings it to life, right? So that's great. I know you know Pipedrive a little, and some of the team know Pipedrive a little. Are there any Pipedrive requests that you'd like to see, whether it's opening their API or whatever it might be, any Pipedrive feature requests that you'd like to see?
Not necessarily, actually. I think my Pipedrive requests are more for my own internal integration teams, because we have so many cool things within the roadmap. So I think, you know, Pipedrive, I really like Pipedrive. I think it's a great CRM that brings a lot of value really, really fast for their customers. So if there's anything I would like to say to them, is like, don't keep it simple. Like don't ruin yourself and your great product with too many features, because it's really, really cool.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Very, very cool. Well said. So great. Before we look to sign off, is there anything in particular you'd like to say before we go?
No, it was really nice chatting with you, Bruce. Nice getting to know you a bit better, and bragging a bit about OneFlow.
That's it. Well, wonderful. So Well, thank you, Amelia. It has been great. We'll be sure to have links in the description below to the demo that we spoke about that we've run through, and the links to trial the platform as well. So, and for all those listening, thank you for listening to Evolve Pipedrive podcast, which are all things Pipedrive, sales, apps, and Pipedrive marketplace. Thank you.